first.
Thank you for coming to this show, by the way. I really do appreciate you coming to a thing because you didn't have to. And it's really easy not to go to things. It is so much easier not to do things than to do them that you would do anything is totally remarkable. Percentage-wise, it is 100% easier not to do things than to do them. And so much fun not to do them, especially when you were supposed to do them.
That was comic John Mulaney thanking his audience for showing up. Now, maybe your personal version is more like this. Early in the week, you make plans with friends for a few days later. Then as the week goes on, you're tired, you're a little stressed out, and when it is time to go out, you feel like it would be way better and way easier to just stay at home, maybe with leftovers or takeout and something good to binge watch. So your question then is to bail or not to bail? And then what does it do to our social relationships when it's so easy to cancel our plans to spend time together? We asked Regan Gurung to tackle the social issue of bailing. He's the Ben J. and Joyce Rosenberg Professor of Human Development and Psychology at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He joins us now from our studios in Green Bay. Regan, good to have you back.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, let's talk about that feeling, that conflict in the moment. I made these plans, but gosh, it's so tempting just to stay home after that busy day of work. This is something that probably most people go through at some point, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, in the last few years in particular, you've seen us having more and more to do, and we take on more responsibilities, and there's just so much going on, it seems, that sometimes instead of going out, it does seem easier to just not. And of course, the question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to let down a whole bunch of friends waiting for you? Or are you going to, you know, because of the guilt you may feel, are you going to do it anyway? Well, I think for the most part, at least anecdotally, we see that there are a lot of people who just, you know, press the button, as it were, and cancel on a date or a social event.
It feels like that. And you wrote in a recent blog post, we don't have the empirical evidence to back that up. There hasn't been the vast Pew study on bailing out
exactly.
on plans. But it makes sense in some ways because of our social media technology, our texting, it's really easy to, in a very impersonal way, bail out on our friends or family.
Absolutely. And I think the whole notion is, you know, think back to the times when if you had to cancel something, you would have to actually see the person face to face or make a call. That's a lot. It's a lot different situation when you have to pick up the phone and say, oh, by the way, you know that thing we planned for so long? Well, I'm not going to be able to do it. That's a lot harder to do than just, you know, getting onto text messenger or Facebook or something and just sending out a quick, hey, can't do it this time. Sorry. And, you know, hopping back so that you don't even hear the expression or the response that the person has. That, I think, is one of the ways technology is making it very easy for us to do those things that otherwise we wouldn't do.
And Regan, I think we've talked about introverts together on the show before, and there's a lot of talk in the culture about people who are introverts. And I, you know, in real life, I am pretty introverted. And I think there's something about being that introvert that makes it especially tough to make that decision. You know, a week ago, I was really outgoing and made this plan. Now that I'm faced with the reality, I usually don't bail, but I know that thought process of, it'd be easier to just not summon up the energy to be out there.
Right. Yeah. But and I think you mentioned introversion. And I think, remember, that's just one of those different personality traits that we have. When you think about personality as it's studied psychologically, we often talk about the big five: conscientiousness, agreeableness, extroversion, neuroticism. And introversion definitely can drive behavior. But I think when we talk about canceling, maybe conscientiousness is another trait that we should think about. Maybe it's, you know, if you're a conscientious person, you are not going to back out of things. If you are a conscientious person, you know, you turn in your work when you're supposed to. And I think in this particular case, maybe conscientiousness is the trait that's higher up on that list, together with, I think, one of my favorite things to study and think about, how we cope with stress. You know, I think a lot of what you talked about could be a coping mechanism where we go, I just can't face that stressful situation or, you know, people right now. I just need some time by myself.
Talking to UW Green Bay psychology professor Regan Gurung about the culture and psychology of bailing out on our plans. You've been there probably on one side or the other of this. You've canceled at the last minute or wanted to or been canceled on. You can join in, by the way, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Have you recently been the bailer or the bailee? Do you think we're getting worse about meeting our obligations, getting out and hanging out with people? And Regan, in your blog post, your advice for people thinking about bailing was don't. And that resonated with me because almost, I would say 99% of the time when I've been in that position, I'm like, maybe I want to bail. I go, I'm glad I went. I had a good time.
Right. Absolutely. And I think it's difficult for us to imagine what a situation will be like. And I think this works in two directions. On one hand, when we make a plan, it's difficult for us to imagine how tired we will be when that day comes along, right? Which is why very often leading up to it, we go, I don't want to do it. On the flip side, it's very hard for us, and we'd have to really cognitively and consciously say to ourselves, hey, you know, let's think about that last time we went out. Wasn't that a good time? And I think that's something that may help, where you think about the good time you had, not how bad you feel at that moment. And honestly, it's like working out. You know, how there are many times I know I don't want to work out or go to the gym or go for a run, and I just make sure I do it. And I tell myself, you know what? Don't even think about it. Go do it. Let's touch base in 10 minutes. And sure enough, once I'm at the place or on a run, you know, I go, I'm sort of glad I did this. So, and I think that applies with events and meetings. Just go out and do it. And for the most part, I think we'll be glad that we did.
Getting back to the technology side of things, Regan, another temptation here is that we have a lot of information and entertainment at our fingertips at home. Even if you don't have a fancy TV system, you can watch infinite amounts of stuff just with your phone. The stay home option gets more alluring with all those options, right?
Right. And I think it's not only the technology exposing us to multiple options of what we can do staying home. It's actually also exposing us to many things that we can do that night instead of meeting those people that we were going to meet. You know, so especially Facebook is one of those things where something will pop up and say, hey, all your friends are interested in going to this event. And you go, oh, I didn't even think of that event. And, you know, you look at it and you go, ooh, but I made plans to go someplace else. Well, that event, if it's pretty appealing, you may just change plans right there. And so I think that's something we don't think about. Whenever people miss meetings, it's not always because they want to grab some solo time and, you know, catch up on Netflix. Sometimes something better's come up. And I think that makes for even more interesting situations when you learn that somebody who canceled with you actually went and did something else.
I want to put this in the context of some kind of serious stuff out there. First of all, stress. You mentioned a lot of us are feeling stressed, and there's research that suggests that we are getting, if I have this right, more stressed over time. Is that true?
Yeah. So every year, the American Psychological Association does what they call the Stress in America survey. And they've been doing it for quite a number of years now. And every year, it doesn't look great. And when you look at the most recent numbers that I could pull out, 75% of Americans report experiencing at least one stress symptom in the last month. When you think about the percent of Americans who lie awake at night, well, 45% apparently report lying awake at night. 36% report being nervous or anxious. Those are some pretty high numbers. And when you look back at that same survey every year, you can see that those numbers are higher than it has been for some time. So I think, you know, when we think about canceling, you know, when we think about why did that person cancel, we could should probably also think about maybe that person is taking the right step in doing something that'll help them cope with just a really busy week. And so even when, you know, yes, I would still say if possible, don't bail. And the reason for that is actually hanging out with people is social support and could help you cope with stress. I think we also can recognize that there will be some times when perhaps the best thing to do is just take some time for yourself. I think the issue becomes, you know, is this something that's happening very frequently? And if it is happening frequently, it could just be because you're under a lot of stress or because, you know, maybe you're not weighing or thinking about all the things going on in the best way. So that level of self-reflectiveness and self-knowledge becomes pretty important.
Regan Gurung is with us talking about why we are prone to cancel plans, why it's tempting to cancel plans with other people, why we hate it when other people do it to us. He's a professor of human development and psychology at UW Green Bay. You can join in at 800-642-1110. 1, 2, 3, 4? Is this you on either side of the equation? Do you find yourself canceling those plans with friends more often now than you used to? What's usually the reason that you want to get out of doing something? Does it feel more acceptable today to bail on friends than it used to be? Or have you been on the other side of things? Have you been bailed on? How does that make you feel? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation with Regan Gurung about why it can be so tempting to bail on our social plans, even sometimes if we're the ones who arranged it. He's a professor of human development and psychology at UW Green Bay, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Technology has made it easier to make plans with friends in some cases. Has it made it too easy to break those plans? If you could just text instead of calling or telling someone in person, does that make it seem not as bad? Do you bail out on plans often? Do people bail on you? How does that make you feel? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Matt is with us in Madison. Matt, hi.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I was just going to mention that I had an instance last summer where my phone broke, and it was on a Thursday or a Friday. I went the weekend without it, and I found it to be so enjoyable that I went about a month. Now, I don't have a traditional job, so I was able to do that. And I was telling the gal that took my call in the first place that a side effect, well, first of all, I was able to manage my planning of things because I was using my wife's phone to contact my friends, and they were contacting me through her. She got sick of it, but I found it to be very relaxing because I didn't have to deal with as many people. But an interesting side effect was I'm certain that I became more curious and more interested in learning about anything, not in just specifics, but just my mind, through the lack of distraction, just opened up to wanting to be more creative and learn more stuff. And since I got my phone back, that has
all gone.
Matt, thanks a lot. Yeah, and so the technology versus, I guess, everything else in the world, Regan, but that including our social connections.
Right, and you know, Matt puts this, actually reminds me of a study I read where they tested people on a learning task, and the individuals either had their phone on the table in front of them, in their bags, or in another room. And in all three cases, the phones were off. Yet, the people who had their phones on their desk next to them did the worst on this learning task. So I think Matt nicely, you know, mentions how that those phones can be distractions. They occupy our minds. And, you know, especially when somebody texts you to do something and you're in the middle of something else, you're going to be tempted to drop what you're doing to respond to that. Yeah, I can do it or I cannot do it. So it really raises the ante a lot.
Thanks for that call. Go next to Alex with us in Appleton. Alex, hi.
Hi. So I heard you talking about how going out into a social context can be a support system for someone that might be struggling with stress. And so my question is, what sort of obligation do the people that are part of that social outing have to be supportive of someone that would frequently cancel and occasionally show up versus just in the future not continuing to invite them to social gatherings because they are as someone that has been flaky or frequently someone that cancels?
Alex, thanks. The chronic canceller, do we have to keep inviting them, Regan?
You know, so this nicely gets at the situational versus or short-term versus long-term, right? When we talk about, I mentioned conscientiousness earlier on, when we talk about personality, I think it's important to separate out personality factors from situational factors. So, for example, if you are, to use the word flaky, and that's a personality trait, where in general you tend to do this in many things, I think friends are less likely, and rightly, less likely to cut you some slack. On the flip side, something important for all of us when we have somebody cancel something is to think about the situation. Was there a situation that made that person cancel that event? And maybe there was something or is something going on that's very different in that person's life that we do need to pay attention to. Now, if that happens frequently, you can understand why that person will not be invited back. And, you know, that makes sense. But I think separating out the personality from the situational factors is a pretty big deal.
Alex, thanks a lot for that call. My worry, I guess, Regan, would be, you know, what if that person is dealing with depression? And that might be something that's leading them to cancel their plans. Maybe instead of cutting them out, maybe you have like a lower risk scenario. It's like, hey, I'm going out for lunch one way or the other, whether you're there or not. Stop by if you can. And then if the bailing, you've kept the lines of communication open. If the bailing happens, you're not out anything.
Robin, I'll take you a step further. I think if we really care about our friends and there's a friend who is consistently bailing, I think a good friend reaches out to that friend and says, hey, I've noticed you've been bailing often. Anything going on? Can we chat? Can we meet someplace else? I don't think we just let it be, but I think that's, we owe it to our friends to go in and find out what's going on.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Kate on the line in Racine. Kate, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I work in the area of groups that are committed to coming to different occasions, somewhat like direct sales, but I'm in wellness, and I've also been in direct sales. And the thing that we talk about when working with women is that they're very committed, they're excited to come to whatever workshop you have, they've planned it, and then at the last minute, you know, 50% to 75% of your women will cancel. And I'm wondering if there's this element of not feeling significant enough, like, oh, there's going to be all other kinds of people there, she doesn't need me there, you know what I mean? So that in group, you know, the sociology of groups, that I'm not significant enough, there'll be enough people there. Does that ring true? I don't think they're really being, you know, not being conscientious. I just don't think they feel that they matter.
Gotcha,
and from,
Kate.
From my perspective, it's kind of disappointing when, you know, that your clientele just everybody calls because they're busy or whatever. What do you think?
So nobody's going to miss me if I don't show up, Regan.
Right. And in psychology, there's a phenomenon called the diffusion of responsibility. And that's exactly, Kate, what I think you're talking about here is when you're in a group and you know there are a lot of other people, you know that if you pulled out, there'd still be other people there. So it really won't make that much of a difference. And I think you often see this when you're in a group Snapchat or a group Facebook Messenger and there's an event planned. If there are a number of people on that group, it actually is likely to increase the likelihood that somebody will say no and drop out because they know there are other people on that group and in theory the show will go on.
Kate, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Regan Gurung, professor of psychology at UW Green Bay, talking about the psychology and culture of bailing out, canceling those plans with friends and family, maybe at the last minute. Regan, I want to put this in the context of some more recent research we've been seeing in headlines. Increases in loneliness in the United States, especially for younger generations, the millennials, I think, in particular, saw high rates of loneliness. Is that the flip side of this bailing out coin?
Well, I think what we are seeing, and this is research that came out with Gene Twenge in the iGeneration book that came out a couple months ago, and it clearly shows that over time, the percent of 8th to 12th graders that rate themselves as being lonely is significantly higher than it was even 10 years ago. Now, that is correlated or associated with a higher use of technology, right? And remember, I said correlated here. So I think, and not, you know, one causing the other, although it could. But I think in this particular case, that's probably happening. There's a possibility that that's linked as well, where you have these personal feelings of loneliness that are increasing that may make it more difficult to want to be out with other people.
Let's bring on another caller now. Lynn is with us in Eau Claire. Lynn, hi.
Hi, Rob. This is fascinating, and I'm wondering if there was any consideration taken in the study between rural and metropolitan folks and their attitude toward putting you off, I guess.
And have you had an experience one way or the other?
Yes. I come from the Chicago. I spent the first half of my life in the Chicago area, and now I'm in Eau Claire. And it just, to me, folks up here, I've just a lot more. It's just like you just take it for granted that you don't make plans because somebody's going to bail.
In Eau Claire, more so than Chicago, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. That was
Lynn, thanks for the call. And Regan, we're not working mainly with a study. I don't know if anybody's broken this down yet, but any thoughts on how things might work in one area versus another?
Yeah, you know, there are different norms for different places. And I think, you know, it's possible that there are norms for the city. You know, this is how it is. And as Lynn mentioned, there are different norms for where you are. I think, I'm not sure we can break it down by rural versus urban. I would bet it's more part of the country, the state that you're in, whether it's the north versus the south, where I think the norms and the social norms for respectful behavior with each other is going to be different.
Thanks a lot for that call. In our last minute or so, Regan, what's your advice for people maybe facing that situation, let's say this weekend?
You know, I'd actually say the biggest thing to watch for is a natural human tendency we have to blame cancellations on the person if it's somebody else, but blame it on the situation if it's us. So if I canceled something, I go, obviously I had something going on, or it's, you know, it's, yeah, there's something going on. But if somebody else canceled it, we tend to say, oh, it's that person who's flaky. And, you know, in psychology, we call that the fundamental attribution error. Let's not make that error, because it'll help us treat people better if we don't.
So we impose the best motives on ourselves
exactly.
and the worst motives
exactly.
on everybody around us.
Exactly.
Regan, always good to talk to you. Thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Regan Gurung, professor of human development and psychology at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He joined us from our studios in Green Bay to talk about why we are prone to cancel our plans with others, sometimes even at the last minute, and why it bugs us when other people do it to us. One reason there, we often think the best of ourselves and maybe the worst of other people. There is still time for you to share your thoughts. You can still join the conversation over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know, have you caught yourself bailing out on those social events, whether it's just to hang out with a friend, go to the birthday party, catch your friend's band playing, whatever? Are you more likely to get out of that than you used to? Or have you made a concerted effort to get out and hang out with people? Or do you feel like generally in our culture, people are bailing out more? Is technology to blame? How? Let us know on the Ideas Network Facebook page.